Let's see here. We're going to jump down to, actually, this is a good topic, and someone actually emailed me after they read this article. They really wanted to talk about prisons and how reforming people that are in prison, how this article makes us think about prison reform. Given that human criminal justice systems cannot and do not replicate God's perfect justice here on earth as it is in heaven, what caveats or limits would you put on the metaphor of substitutionary atonement as it might apply to Christ's death suggested by the In the News article? Any thoughts on how this article makes us think about the criminal justice system in the United States or maybe even in our own county?
I think it's a great idea. That's just me, though. At all levels of criminal justice.
Is Rick, just for clarification, are you talking about reforming the prisons or reforming the courts? There's two parts to that story.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think more the courts, I think in terms of what the sentence is. I think if a person is, even if a person is guilty, but there are 20 people there willing to go their debt for them, that ought to be taken into consideration. That's just my opinion, though. That means that person is... To me, there's a ledger, you know, and that means that person must have done enough good things in their life and good things to others for others to be willing to do that for them. And, you know, to me, there's a more of a sense of complete justice there, if you think about it that way. I like that idea. I've never thought of that before. That was revolutionary to think about for me, but it's obviously as old as God himself.
Any thoughts on that? Like what would we think if in the county that they started allowing parents to accept some of the punishment of their children? Or what do you think about that? Would that be helpful or would that cause more problems?
I don't know, but several years ago, two kids broke the windows in Vicky and David's car, and they were down in a parking lot talking a lot about it when the police picked them up. It was rather obvious, but they were both sentenced to restitution, writing a letter of apology, and I don't remember what else. But two boys, one who wrote a very heartfelt letter and said his parents were making him work for the money to get back. The other who wrote a nothing letter and his parents paid without him doing anything. They were so opposite. And so to me, the one that just, oh, well, his parents paid for it, he's not learned anything. The other one, I hope, had.
Bob?
I think one case where an individual takes responsibility for the sin is in terms of a fine. So in other words, a parent is paying a fine because their child sinned. And that's kind of acceptable in our environment now.
Yeah.
Rather than, and in fact, if you think about who was it that paid the fines off so the people could vote in Florida?
Yeah.
Bloomberg.
Yeah. I don't know how much I want to comment on this, but we have had examples in the congregation where grandmas and grandpas have over and over and over paid for the fines. And in one case, they finally got to the point where they said, this time you're going to have to stay in prison. So it's really hard. But I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer, but I do think this is just a really interesting concept of if someone's in trouble, how could the community respond? There's something called redistributive justice. I don't know if you've, is that a restorative justice? It's kind of a movement. Have any of you heard of this? There are actually a couple people in Philomath that hold to this teaching. And what it is whenever there's a crime done, that the people that were affected by the crime, instead of just having the person go to the county and the county gives a sentence, you know, oh, 3 months, 6 months, this kind of justice actually has those community members that have been impacted are allowed to share with the person that perpetrated the crime how that hurt them and how it hurt the overall community, rather than just having a kind of a sentence that doesn't really connect with what actually took place. That's another way to bring in the community. Anyway.
Well, when a person prior to being given a sentence, it seems like a lot of juries will, a lot of courtroom situations where the family comes in and says, this is what happened to us from what you did, or this is how we feel, or, you know, the impact of the incident or whatever happened. Now, maybe that's only in murder cases, I'm not sure, but you see that a lot on the news, where people are giving their testimony of how the action of one individual impacted the survivors in this particular case.
Okay, we're gonna close out here. It's about 10:30. We've been going for nearly an hour. And I just want to give a plug for a book that I read that covers this topic. It's called Just Mercy. Just Mercy. Kay, have you read that book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to share with the group what that book was about? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, let's see.
Well, it's about a black attorney.
Yeah.
That goes on a mission to right the wrongs of the court towards black people, and they are making a movie out of it too.
I think they did already.
Oh, it's already out. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got that. I'm about ready to read that book. But it has some good themes that touch on what we're talking about here today. So that's another, if you want to explore another heartwarming story of kind of going transformationally, working justice into the world. I think that book, Just Mercy, is a good example.